This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we continue our Father's Day show, we want to bring you a story of a father and son that hit pretty close to home for us at the 21st. At the end of the show, when I read the names of the great team that gets this show on air every day, I usually end with, Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Earlier this year, Reginald let us in on something going on with his life. You see, he was born in Vietnam during the war and was adopted out overseas to a couple in Colorado. Fast forward 48 years, and through the science of DNA testing and the luck of a match, this year he has, for the first time, connected with his birth father. Turns out Reginald grew up less than 100 miles away from his dad, LZ Johnson. They both join us now. Reginald, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brian.
And LZ, thank you for being here on the line with us as well.
Hello, Brian.
Listeners, I do want to be clear before we start, while Reginald is our boss at this show, it was our idea to ask him to come on to talk about this. We were originally thinking of including him in a segment on how it can be more challenging for people of color to make these kinds of connections through DNA testing, but Reginald's story turned out to be an exception that proved the rule, and we thought it was better told in the context of Father's Day. And I should also add that, as with every other guest, he had no role in preparing the segment and has not seen the questions or my notes ahead of time. Okay, with that out of the way, Reginald, where did you grow up? And can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you knew about the circumstances of your birth when you were a child?
Sure, Brian. I grew up in Elizabeth, Colorado, on the Eastern Plains, about an hour southeast of Denver. And what I had known about my coming into this world is that I was born in southern Vietnam. That was, and that I was given up, obviously, and placed in an orphanage, like so many other Amerasians, about 30,000 some Amerasians during the Vietnam War. And I came to the U.S. And was picked up at the airport in Denver by my adopted parents, a black couple in Colorado. And I was maybe between 3 and 9 months old. You know, I don't know the exact time. And grew up there. But I really, other than having some vague recollection of, you know, I didn't, of course, was too young to have any memories. But all I knew was, you know, my father was possibly a U.S. black army person or a military person, and my mother was Vietnamese or an Asian woman, but really had no idea, who they were. You know, my birth certificate really didn't have that information, and had the place where I was born. But other than that, just really nothing. So grew up in Colorado in a very small town. I had high school graduating class of 90 people, but that was all.
And LZ Johnson, I want to bring you into the conversation. Can you talk just briefly about what was your service in Vietnam like? What did you do there?
I was a medic there at the time.
Okay.
Orthopedic physician.
And I wonder, when did you find out you might have had a child from your time in the war?
I found out in late 1973,
okay,
that I might have had a child.
And I wonder, was there any thought at the time of you know, I don't know, were you back stateside by then, or what were the circumstances of that?
I had returned stateside rather suddenly. The military sent us back early in 1973, and my mother said she had received a letter stating that some lady had written her saying that she was pregnant and she was possibly going to lose the child. And after that, we lost all contact.
Interesting. Reginald, we need to take a break just briefly in a minute, but I just want to sort of set up for listeners. You fast forward, you end up taking a DNA test. Can you just talk briefly what prompted you to want to take this DNA test?
Sure. I did that about 6 years ago, and part of it was hoping possibly for a family connection, but the other part was family health history. I have no idea, and as I'm getting older, you want to know those type of things. So I did take a 23andMe test, and 6 years later, in March, is when I got a contact from a relative.
Okay, well, with that set up, that tease set up, we need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation with Reginald Hardwick, an Illinois man born in Vietnam, who just after 48 years connected with his birth father in person for the first time this year. We're also speaking with LZ Johnson, his birth father. This conversation will continue after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we conclude our Father's Day show, we're continuing our conversation. It's the story of a father and a son that's hit pretty close to us here at The 21st. Reginald Hardwick is our news director here at Illinois Public Media. And earlier this year, he let us in that he had connected with his birth father for the first time. As we heard earlier, Reginald was born in Vietnam in 1973. All he knew is that his father was a serviceman. His mother was likely Vietnamese, but that was it. He was adopted by a couple in Colorado. Turns out he grew up less than 100 miles away from his birth father, LZ Johnson, who is also on the line with us. And as I mentioned this earlier, but just for listeners, if you're wondering, this was our idea on the show to have our boss on, not the other way around. And he has not had any role in preparing this segment. So, Reginald, before the break, you were talking about what motivated you to get one of these DNA tests, family health history. I want to back up just briefly, though, because your adoptive mother died when you were still a relatively young man, if I understand that correctly, your father more than a decade ago. What was your family situation like at that time?
Sure. Like I said, I grew up in like 11 acres in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. My adopted father worked for the Denver Federal Center and retired at 40, and he had a previous family, had married before and had four kids previously, but he and his second wife wanted to start a family, and she couldn't have children, so they looked into adoption. They were turned down once, and then there was actually a call for people to take Vietnamese orphans, particularly the black ones, because no one was taking us. And a lot of the agencies that were bringing orphans into the United States, Amerasian orphans, were based in Colorado. So they were able to bring me home and adopted me. And my dad said my mom saw my picture in some sort of pamphlet or whatever and kind of shed a tear. So they met me at the airport, and, you know, I was with them. And then my mother passed shy of her 40th birthday when I was 13. And then my father lived until he was 72 and passed in 2007.
And at that point, you don't have much family left, I understand, right? I mean, as far as you know.
Right. I mean, I didn't have, you know, all my grandparents, and as far as my adopted family, I do have all my half-brothers and sisters, or most of them.
Okay. And so let's fast forward a little bit, or maybe before that, I should say, LZ, I understand you also took one of these DNA tests, right? But it was from a different company?
Yes, it was. I took the Ancestry, and my sister took the 23andMe. And that's when she found out that Reginald existed. She called me, and fortunately, we all got together. And then Reggie took the Ancestry too, and that clarified everything.
Yeah, I want to get back to that call in a moment. But Reginald, what is this like from your perspective? You take the test, you go a few years, right, before you hear anything. What happened?
It's about 6 years, and, you know, it's interesting. I brought my notebook because as a journalist, I write everything down, and it was late February, and I have February 28th at 3:30 p.m., and I get an email from Martha in Cape Girardeau, because LZ and my family, birth family, are from Southern Illinois, and saying, you know, I had a brother stationed in Vietnam and might have had a child there. And we had heard about a note and that, all that. And she reached out to me on 23andMe because there's an option for that. And then my now sister, Kamisha, reached out to me on Facebook and said, this may sound strange, but we think there's a connection. So it was, you know, it was, I always felt like it would happen, you know, but then it just comes when you least expect it. So I was like, okay.
I'm just trying to imagine, are there butterflies in your stomach? What is that? Yeah. What is that? What is that moment? You open this email. What was the subject line?
Yeah. You just take a, you know, inhale and you just take a deep breath and you go, okay, this is happening. And, you know, you just, you know, just go forward. I mean, it's in, you know, and then, you know, I want to start to ask questions. And then actually Kamisha and I talked a little bit and before I actually talked to Dad, Elsie, on the 6th of March. And one of the funny stories I asked, and, you know, I'm asking a lot of questions, we're asking, and she said, you know, we've looked at pictures and you all really kind of look similar and, you know, talked about her upbringing. And he, after coming back from Germany and the family, settled in Colorado Springs, 50 miles from where I grew up. And all that was very interesting and all these ironies. Of course, I live in Central Illinois. He's from Southern Illinois. But then I said, how tall is he? Because most black men I know, and I'm 5'6", are 5'10 or taller. My adopted dad was 6'2". And she said, he's 5'6". And I said, oh, okay, that's him. I guess I'm like, oh, yeah.
Elsie, I want to ask you about your end of this evolving story. When you got that call from your sister, I mean, how does she say, are you sitting down? What, can you take us back to what did that conversation feel like on your part?
Yeah, my sister told me she had taken her test and she had a nephew out there and he was from the Vietnam area. So I asked, I said, what year was he born? And she indicated that he was born in 1973. So I knew that there was possibilities. And so I was ready. I love people. I love good things. And so I'm ready. I'm ready to accept. And I believe in the signs. So let's see what happens. And I'm grateful, believe it or not.
Yeah, I wonder, is this something that you had always kept in the back of your mind, or is this something you hadn't thought about much over the years?
I had thought about it sometimes, but I never was able to make contact. And when you lose contact, you always wonder. You never truly just, well, it can't exist. And if it weren't for the science, I would have never known, truly.
Yeah. All right, so I want to fast forward a little bit. So you have these sort of initial connections over digital means, in FaceTime or Zoom. Reginald, when did you know you wanted to meet in person?
Well, I started putting that together in April because I did get I also did in Ancestry also just to double confirm and. So at the same time, I started putting together, okay, where we're going to meet, and Elsie and Jan, his wife, my stepmom, live in Vegas now. They've retired to Vegas, but my brother and sisters live in Colorado, one of my sisters also lives in Vegas. But so we just decided to kind of convene in Colorado, and part of it also, I started thinking about how do you tell 48 years of your life. And so, you know, as a storyteller, I always think about pictures and everything. And I knew my father after my adopted father before he passed had married again. And so my stepmom from my adopted father, I know it's very complicated, had all the photo albums and everything. So I said, I'm going to put together a small kind of photo album that, you know, is easy to carry and, you know, put baby pictures and growing up pictures, high school graduation, college graduation, all that together. And so we decided in May, and I think Dad, Elsie, you were planning to go to Colorado Springs anyway at that time, so we decided to meet there in Colorado Springs.
Okay, and Reginald, listeners may not know that you spent most of your career before coming into public media working in television news, and you invited I believe, a trusted former colleague from a Colorado ABC affiliate, goes by the Denver Channel, to document your and Elsie's story. We have a short clip of that meeting. Let's take a listen.
And the time had come to meet.
Had butterflies all the way down here.
Where they at?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, Dad.
How's it going?
Good, good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. That's what they tell me.
That's a...
I thought he was going to be a shorter guy. This guy's tall.
The family he never knew existed. Sister Vanessa.
Kamisha. Hi, Kamisha.
Sister Kamisha.
Oh.
Hi, how are you?
Brother Charles.
Good, good.
I'm Stephanie.
Hi.
And stepmom.
Reginald, what is going through your head at that moment?
You know, it was just like, what love is in this family, and what a wonderful family to be a part of. And, you know, it's just apparent when you see everybody, and, you know, it's just love. And, you know, I also had turned 48 the day before, so they actually brought out a birthday cake. And I also got to meet my brother Charles and his wife Zalika, have a precious little girl. So I got to meet my new little niece. So, you know, it's just love. And, you know, it was just a wonderful feeling, just surrounded by wonderful people.
Well, Elsie, we're heading into Father's Day weekend. You have other children. They're all grown now. I wonder, what was it like becoming a new dad after all these years?
It was a wonderful feeling. I met a great young man. He's an outstanding individual, and I love him. He's a good man, and it's like I say, it's all about love and trying to get along and being happy and not being sad. And so I feel good. I feel good about all my children.
And I wonder, the rest of your family, how have they reacted to all of this?
They love Reginald, and they felt good the whole time. No one was ever disparaging, or there was no thought, he's a brother, let's bring him into the fold. That's all. Make it. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Reginald, we're heading into Father's Day weekend. You have not had a father, at least that you knew of, with whom to celebrate that day since your adopted dad died back in, I think it was 2007. What does Father's Day 2021 mean to you?
You know, it's just new beginning and new chapter, and and just wonderful. You know, it's those conversations that you have. You know, I remember having, you know, after my dad had passed, or, you know, my adopted dad, you know, I bought a house and did other things in my life. And, you know, you just miss that voice of giving you advice, or just, you know, leaning on their experiences and learning. And so, you know, the fact that I now have Dad Elsie in my life, and, you know, maybe I could call him, or, you know, or and ask him for advice, or, you know, he'll, you know, sometimes there are days that I can't talk about what goes on at work or whatever, you know, and have someone to bounce that sort of stuff off of to give me perspective. It's wonderful to have that again in my life.
Brief coda before we end our conversation, Reginald. I understand you're also going to be connecting with your birth mother.
Yes.
Soon.
So I mentioned that I, you know, did the ancestry DNA test, and in April, and those test results came back. Of course, they confirmed Elsie was dad. Then I discovered my mom, and she was in, not only is alive and has a name, I had no idea, but that she had come to the United States. And so that is a whole new chapter as well, and, you know, making plans now to meet her in August in Georgia.
Wow, what an amazing story. Best of luck. Reginald Hardwick, thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for asking.
And Elsie Johnson, thank you for being here and sharing with us as well.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you both.
Thank you.
Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down.
That is all we have time for this week. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Briel Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. Happy Father's Day. We'll talk to you again next week.
Take your time, think a lot. Why think of everything you've got? For you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same.